May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 385. 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. Hymn 385.
Let us read together for our instruction from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, there shall he heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The Lord instruct us through his own holy word, and grant us the teaching of the Spirit in helping us to pray. O thou and holy Lord God Jehovah, Thou, the eternal three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we approach unto Thee, unworthy, wretched, vile sinners. And how dare we approach but through the merits of the dear Son of God, who gave Himself for us. Grant us, Lord, that much needed grace, that as He gave Himself for us, we may also to one another, as has been exhorted in our reading. So we confess, O Lord, our own backwardness, our poverty, our inability. Lord, we pray that Thy gracious Spirit might be so given that we might know its renewings and its blessing being poured forth to give us blessing both in our hearts personally and also in our midst collectively, though we may be parted far from those to whom we speak. And yet, O Lord, it is Thy goodness and mercy that at such a time, when we are not able to travel, to minister, that we have this means. And therefore, Lord, we would desire thankful hearts that there is such a means whereby we can still hear one another, may also be able to gather with feelingly in that one spirit. Lord, we do believe that we have been helped and felt the Spirit's witness and known its blessing through this sad and solemn time which we have passed since it began back in last March. And now, Lord, we have been helped hitherto. And now we have to say, as the Apostle who came through so many troubles and trials and oppositions, imprisonment, shipwreck, being stoned and many other things in that literal way, yet he was able to profess that having obtained help of God, I continue to this day. And can we not also say that through this pandemic, with all its difficulties, yet we continue, and we would thank Thee for that continuing grace and strength. We would thank Thee for the wisdom that has also been given, whereby this means is possible. And those that also operate it, that host the meetings, we would thank Thee that Thou hast provided such among many of our churches. And therefore, O Lord, we would desire that this day, where Thy people may be gathered or may not be gathered physically but virtually, that still the gospel may go forth with its certain sound. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt indeed look upon her poor needy souls. Hear the prayer, the opening prayer of our hymn, how we have sometimes felt that hymn so echoes the feelings of our hearts. And it is mercy, Lord, that we have to crave. Oh, where would we be without that mercy? And yet thou hast spoken of thy mercy as the door that opens is open all day. So we come, Lord, pleading mercy for Jesus' sake. Deal not with us according to our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Look, O Lord, upon thine own precious Son, who gave himself a ransom for many, to pay the great debt that we are sunk into. He who came to bear the iniquities of his people in his own body upon the tree, to make an atonement so that we may know the blessing of being brought near through the precious blood. It needed precious blood to be sprinkled upon that mercy seat, that acceptance may be known. And Lord, we now know that our great high priest has for us entered, so that we may approach unto the mercy seat, the throne of grace, without the veil between. For we enter through Christ, and that veil is spoken of as being Christ. So we may come into thy immediate presence through the Spirit, who maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Lord, we do pray, therefore, that when the dear Son of God may be there to also intercede as our precious advocate, that we might then know that we stand forgiven through forgiven of the Father through the merits of the dear Son. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us as we worship thee. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt give the listening ear to the hearers, and do grant, Lord, door of utterance to one that speaks. We may speak right things. We may speak those things as touching the King, that we may speak of those things which may concern poor needy sinners, that their hearts may be touched and affected under the gospel, the precious gospel, that good news sent forth to the nation. And Lord, we believe that it has been heard in our land, up and down our land, over many years, many decades, even centuries. Yet we live in a solemn day where many have turned their back upon thy word and the ministering of the gospel, and seek to follow their own way, and think that they can order their lives as they wish, and that they may be able to prolong their lives, and to do this and that. Oh, what folly we find in our nation, and the evils that abound on account of it. Oh, we mourn the fact that with this judgment that is brought upon the nations, there is little evidence of true repentance among the nations. And Lord, if thy people have been brought to humble themselves, may it be that their cries and sighs and confessions on behalf of themselves and denominationally and also nationally, that they will condescend to hear and to answer, do according to thy good pleasure. O Lord, we read of Daniel and of Nehemiah, who also pleaded not only with regard to their own case, but for the nation itself. And so, O Lord, we as part of the nation, part of it concerning its guilt, and also part with regard to thy mercy, oh, we pray then that as we come guilty, we may see that thou dost arise and doth deal with the many enemies and doth bring upon us that humbling as was with the case of the Ninevites in the days of Jonah. We do, Lord, also pray that we may examine ourselves. For it is said that judgment begins at the house of God, and it must begin with us personally. Therefore, Lord, do in mercy enable us to truly confess, and grant, Lord, that evidence of thy condescending love in reviving, in restoration, in the word going forth with power and having its effect. O Lord, is it not the case? Do not often thy people have to grieve that they come and go? But what is, what has been the benefit? Oh, that we may therefore truly earnestly seek that thou wilt not let us go, that we will not let thee go until thou dost bless us. Lord, send those blessings down and grant that we may know reviving in spirit, fervency in the things of God, and that we may see that that reviving once again as our forefathers evidence the spirituality in their lives, in their conversation, and in their worship. Oh, renew us, we pray. And now, Lord, we would pray for those in sickness and laid aside. Some, Lord, have been affected by the present virus. Others may be affected with other sicknesses or indisposition or infirmity. Lord, we would commend them to thee and desire that thou wilt sanctify it to them, and that it may be for their spiritual profit and benefit. We also pray for thy healing hand, if it could please thee. There are those, Lord, that have been removed during the course of the weeks and the past year particularly, and therefore there are the bereaved. We would commend them to thee and pray that they may be comforted and helped at such a time. We would also pray, Lord, for thy people that are scattered here and there, and many alone, Some are shut up in their homes and have little communication with one or another. So we do pray for them at this time. We would, Lord, desire to pray that thou wilt grant to thy people that lively ministry for how much we need it. Lord, is there not a famine of the hearing of the word of God? But help us to hear. May we receive into our very soul the living word. Now, Lord, what can we say? Oh, do grant us all the help we need and pardon us of our many, many sins, and make up in giving where we fail in asking. And do lay help, Lord, upon thy servants that minister here and there, and upon also the deacons in the being guided to the hymns and the announcing of them, and where it may be that some have them read and some they may sing within as they hear the tune played. O Lord, we do desire that we might feel the sweetness of that which we would sing if we could. Now do then hear us in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou dost hear, forgive. We ask it in and through the worthy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 232. 232. Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Hymn 232.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me. I would direct your attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, and we'll read again the first two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, and particularly the latter part of verse 2, where it says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The apostle, in writing to the Romans, sought to set before the readers the blessings that are known of God in mercy, that we may know salvation through that justifying work of Christ and through the faith that we have of him, that we might believe that there is no other way than through that one sacrifice which he offered, and made an atonement for sin. It is to know and to feel ourselves as true, vile, unworthy sinners, that we may then realize that we are heading for a lost eternity, except we are saved by this grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The apostle, throughout the epistles, sets forth the glorious way of salvation, and how often we need to be directed in our very hearts and soul unto those things. It is so easy for us to be distracted, turned aside, to turn to beggarly elements, as the apostle calls them, where we may strive to be better in ourselves, when we can never improve our old self, not in one measure, but only find, as the hymn writer said, the more I strove against sin's power, I sin and stumble but the more. But God forbid that we should ever think that we can then say that we will continue in sin, that grace may abound. Oh, what a vile thing sin is, and made so in the very hearts and consciences of the Lord's people. They have a new heart, and they have a heart that is cleansed. From all your idols will I cleanse you. Yet we know that the old nature still remains. The old nature will still set up its altars to worship its gods, and it will bow down to self. It will bow down to the world. It will bow down even to the devil when we are left to ourselves. But he who bowed down not either to Satan, nor that he may obtain a world of vice and pleasure and wickedness. His was the world that he had formed and created, the very word that had spoken those things into being. Therefore, he had no need, no desire, no willingness to bow down to Satan. For all that Satan offered him, it was his possession, not the evil, but the good of it. But he had amongst those that were born into this world a people whom he came to save, and that they might know the blessings that we find in his gracious word. It was after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward us appeared, not by which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so we find the necessity of the Spirit's work. Without the Spirit, we are nothing. We may profess a profession, but if the Spirit does not work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, then we will find that there is no acceptance, because there is no pleasure of the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit in a dead form of religion. How we need then that a quickening operation of the Spirit to be felt in us, working, reviving, and encouraging us in every aspect of our spiritual life, and that that will have an effect upon our lives as we live them in this world. If there is not an effect, if there is not a change, if there is not that evidence that the God has made us to differ from a godless world, then we are still in our sin. But if we are brought to hate the very thing that cause us to depart or to leave the God that we love, and often we have to complain because we find that Satan and our old self are too strong for us, but they're not too strong for him. And it is the knowledge that he has of us which can give us encouragement. The fact that he knows our heart, that he is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Let us therefore, in coming to these words that we have read before you, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We may, in the first place, ask the question, what is required for it? For us to prove these things. Well, we, in our introduction, have already set before you somewhat of it. For it says just before that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your your mind, the renewing of your mind. It is the Spirit that will renew our mind. It was the Spirit that brought us to know that importance of our mind being set no longer on things of the earth, but on things that are above. Also, that we may have this set before us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have been singing concerning what our Lord indeed suffered and underwent. We may now consider what our Lord desires of his people whom he has saved, that they may walk in his example, that they may be found as true followers of him, that they may seek to put off the old man and his deeds, and to be renewed with that new man of grace. Oh, how we have to plead for the Spirit itself, that it may be accomplished in us. We have no power the snare to shun, but ever into ruin run. Those are but two lines of that hymn, and that which comes between them is also very pertinent and important. And it says, I cannot just lay my eyes upon it, but it does speak of how that God is. He is greater than our heart. Oh, the mercy of that, the mercy of that. Well, now it is then to come to this word, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The requirement that we may prove good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God is by being brought into and made into that likeness, the likeness of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And only the Holy Spirit, first of all, in regeneration, that we might be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. And if we profess that we have been born again, then how we need to be kept, because we find that new nature is there as the wheat, growing up with the tares of our old nature. And oh, how we sometimes find the Lord permits them to grow together, but they must be separated in that great and solemn day when we will have to come before our Maker, before also our God and Saviour. Ah, then we shall know that he divides justly. He takes the precious from the vile, and he will present us unto his Father as faultless. How we prove, though, throughout the days of our life, we are full of many faults, many shortcomings, but how do we then live? What is his will concerning us, that we might have a righteousness, not our own, but a righteousness imputed, for it is a righteousness imputed to the whole church of God, the body of Christ, that she may not be found naked, but covered with a righteousness which is her beloved's. What a wonderful thing it is that we may be arrayed in those, in that white raiment. And that white raiment was evidenced here when John beheld in his vision those that had not defiled their garments. What are these that walk in white raiment? These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How can that be? Faith. Faith in the bleeding Lamb. How comfortable it is. Ah, there we see then our sins laid upon him, and our sins atoned for by the shedding of blood. Our sins are washed away through his merits. Now he can present himself, having stood in his people's place as being perfect. And in that perfection, he also presents his own dear people. That perfection, it's all sufficient for his people. And this is the will of God. It is the perfect will of God that we may be found perfect in his own dear Son. Now, while we try to strive to be perfect in ourselves, then we shall never be acceptable. But when we seek alone to look to the righteousness of Christ, then we shall prove what is acceptable and what is good and acceptable and perfect of that will of God. It is therefore the very ground of our hope and of our confidence that we have one who is our righteousness. And when we think of those words in Jeremiah, and she shall be called the Lord our righteousness, it comes twice. And in the one of the occasions, it is, and he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. The church looks to her Saviour, her Lord, and says, he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. She dares to call her dear beloved as her righteousness. But then, what is the testimony of God? She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And the righteousness which he imparts is a righteousness which unites the living head with the body, unites those that now have their righteousness in Christ not in themselves. Well, this is the will of God. And how good that will of God is, that he should so grant us a covering. Yes, a covering of our nakedness. I want to be clear here. Do not think that the covering of our nakedness will then be also to cover up our sin. Sin can never be covered up. God sees us exactly as we are. But when sin is atoned for, then we are washed. That ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. The washing is by redemption. And the sanctifying is through the Spirit that effectually works in our lives. The work of grace, which is carried on in the soul. And there is much opposition to that work of grace by the old man of sin. We have a carnal self. It's at war with the things of the Spirit. Therefore, we know the conflicts. The conflicts. The mere professor knows little of conflict. They walk in the sense of what they've done. They make faith a work instead of a grace, instead of a gift. They say, well, I have believed. All is all right now. I have nothing to worry about. Ah, dear friend, is that how you find it? Yes, you believe that the only hope of your salvation is in Christ. And the hymn that was very dear to me and has been, I think I can say all my spiritual lifetime long, is this. And it's gone from me. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Not to hang things upon my believing, though it is in the believing that we look to the one who has done all things well. Well, a faith then that looks to Christ and takes no glory to itself. Flesh will take glory, but the humbled soul under the quickening power of the Spirit, as the Spirit takes of the things of Jesus Christ to reveal them unto us, will make us know that our whole salvation must hang upon him. It must be Jesus only. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, or that you may prove it and prove that it is the Father's will, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What sacred words those were of our Lord and Saviour to his dear sheep. He looked upon them as his sheep. And he had called them, and they followed him. But they had their doubts, they had their fears, they had their besetments. They had their wanderings. They were brought, sometimes scattered by the enemy. Oh, and then to be brought again and prove, yes, and prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that he would have none lost. Do you profess to be a poor lost sinner? Well, you will need to be lost before you're found. A dear friend who's now in glory heard of one who had joined another company to what we are, and not that we would necessarily suggest that there are none others apart from strict Baptists that know the grace of God. That will not be true. There are those that we know of who are undoubtedly amongst the Lord's people. We do not see eye to eye in everything, but I trust we do see eye to eye on those fundamental realities of the gospel. But the comment of this dear friend was this, concerning this young one that had joined a church. He said, I hope that he has not been saved before he's lost. Think upon that. You see, if we have been saved before we've ever known our lost condition, then what? What need really did we have of that salvation? But a poor lost soul. Oh, whither shall I flee to escape the wrath that's due to me? Well, we had Bunyan's Christian. He was there in his state, not knowing what to do. But there's one thing that was plain. He had the city of destruction behind him. He knew there was no salvation there. It was a city of destruction. Come to know then that this world is that city of destruction. Will you then continue in those things that only please the flesh? Or will you want something that will show you the way of God, the works of God, the love of God, those things that will bring hope and bring salvation. Prove. The Lord would have you to prove it. And that is one reason why it's no easy path to heaven. At every turn, you will have to prove what we have here in our text. To prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, not only as it may be set forth in the scheme of salvation, but as it may also affect you personally. The will of God is the will of God that you should have a little fellowship with your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What is that fellowship to be had? Well, the Apostle speaks of having fellowship with him in his sufferings. They may not be physical sufferings, the sufferings that the child of God know about are those things which are known by the world. They mourn the hidings of his face. When our Lord cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew that that would be the experience of the Lord's people. And we may take solace in the fact that our Lord and Master, the dear Son of God, the Father, saw fit that when he had laid those sins upon him, that he should make an atonement, that he would hide his face. Yes, seemingly forsaken, because at that very moment the Lord Jesus Christ made his soul an offering. If you want no other proof that Christ has not just a human body but a human soul, then here we have the text. He made his soul an offering for sin. There was the conflict known in his own soul as those sins were laid upon him. They were not his. He had not been guilty of one sin. No, but because he was pure, whole, while separate from sinners, he could offer himself. As the priest, he would offer, and himself being the Lamb, God shall provide himself a Lamb. Two ways of looking at that, isn't there, that sentence of Abraham? Yes, God shall provide himself a Lamb. And then God shall provide himself a lamb. Signifying it was not going to be any lamb. That ram which was taken from the thorn bush, which symbolizes the curse. And he was made of a woman, made under the law. He was made a curse for us, to bear that curse. And yet, he himself was as holy as he had ever been. Well now, this was the will of God. This was the will of God. You have to come into the experience in measure, and ours is but a very small measure. But if it be seeming to you so small that you fear you dare not count it as having fellowship with him in his sufferings, do not cast it away, dear friend. If you have had but a taste of Christ in his sufferings, then you have had fellowship with him. Well, these things are a great deep. But this is where you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When then you come into these experiences, you are made willing to bear them. Too great for the flesh. Oh, does the flesh want to suffer the shame, the ignominy that may be brought upon us of the world? Or let us come closer far closer. That old self. That old, wretched, old man of sin. He will soon be mocking. He will soon be pouring out his hate against that which has fellowship with Christ. And he will make sure that you would desire to flee from, to escape from such fellowship. But in so doing, he drives you the more to it. It is like the little fable, the Aesop's fable, where there was a man depicted with his coat on, and the sun and the wind conversed with one another to how he could make the wind, how they could make him take his coat off. And the wind blew and did all its ragings. And the man only drew his coat closer to him and buttoned it up. And then the sun, it came to his turn. He shone forth in his beams. And it's warm. You know, there's a strange warmth in the fellowship with Christ. I cannot explain it. You need to know it. You need to prove it. But then, that is what will enable you to take off all that is of self. And then, in the comforts of his love. What love? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Well, we've been some friends, haven't we? Peter denied him, and yet Peter was a friend. Thomas doubted him. And his true was in his unregeneracy. But Saul persecuted him. And how the apostle does confess that to his son Timothy. It's a precious words that are set before us in that epistle. Where it says, where he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, there must be the renouncing, of those former things that we once indulged in and enjoyed. And that is why we find that the apostle, in leading up to the words that we are particularly considering, says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. Now it is that we may examine ourselves. Of ourselves, we shall soon prove we have no power to be anything else but conformed, left to ourselves. But he is speaking to those that have tasted of that word of life. He's speaking to those who have known the work of the Spirit. Speaking to those who have known the change that has been brought about through the grace of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Spirit working in them. And now there is that, as we've spoken of, a conflict. And so we sometimes find that the old man seems to gain the victory over the new man. It's only something that seems to be that. It is not actually, because whom the Lord has redeemed, those that he has saved, they're saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Therefore, do what Satan may do. Do what the old man may seek to do. Yet, when Jesus hides his face, as it would seem, that we might then prove that this is not as we would desire to be. Oh, we've been left to go astray. Oh, what confessions have to come forth then. And we have to plead, Lord, do forgive. I've been as a sheep going astray. Oh, seek thy servant. Come, Lord, and find me. Find me in this crooked, wretched place that I have wandered into. What a wonderful thing it is that we have such a faithful shepherd, the King of Love. My shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. And then we read that how one had often gone astray, but he in mercy puts us upon his shoulder and brings us back. A beautiful setting there. The shepherd lifting up the sheep, the poor, helpless, weak sheep, putting it upon his shoulder to bring it back to the fold. What is significant about the shoulder? Well, you will remember, no doubt, that one of the garments that the priest was to wear was the ephod. And upon the shoulders of the ephod were to be those stones, one on each side, with the names of the children of Israel. The names were there. They may be objective, but were they not on the breastplate? Yes, they were on the breastplate. He who would lift us and put us upon his shoulder to give us a token that there is our safety, there is our consolation. But we may also know it's on this account they were written on his heart. Or as the prophet speaks of their names being written upon the palms of his hands. Well, in every place, in the lifting up, we may observe that our names are there. In the laying upon the shoulder, we may observe our names are there. and then to view our glorious High Priest in all his splendor of those garments, I return to those words, the Lord, our righteousness. Well, what a subject then to prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Not one that is left to himself. Yes, it may be said, rebellious there has been, and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. Therefore, every wayward one, yet those for whom he came to save, they are brought. He will not let them continue. No. The words, and I must close, the words that we have in that prophecy of Hosea, that 14th chapter. What a wonderful consolation it is to the returning, wanderer. First of all, the call is this. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. How shall she return? How will you return? With this instruction, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. Oh, would we think of that? Or would we wish it? It's only that he instructs us with a holy instruction that brings us to willingness, to bring such words, Lord, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, so will we render the cause of our lips. But the words that were just flashed into my mind were these, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Proof. Yes, we have to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach again this evening at 6:30. Sunday school will be on Zoom as usual. And on Friday the 15th of Jan, Mr. Graham Hadley is expected to preach here in the chapel. And next Lord's Day, there will be an early prayer meeting at 9 o'clock. And if this is okay today, Mr. Michael Riddell is expected to preach the same next Lord's Day. We will now close with hymn 297. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died. Yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. When faint in the way, or lifeless and cold, or sunk in dismay and none to uphold, Yet firm to his promise thy God shall abide, but grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. Commencing at verse 3, hymn 297.
Thank you.
And now, may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us, now and through the interval of worship, and forevermore. Amen.
Friends, we said we would review after this service whether we continued in this way. We have prayed that we might know the will of God, whether he would open the door or close the door. And I feel every one of us would want to meet in the same way again this evening.